If you have your Bibles, go to Acts chapter 17, Acts chapter 17. And I will mention that we got off to a really good start with our men's and women's elective. Ladies, on Tuesday nights, there were over 50 gals there for an excellent video series on Hosea. I tried to reach Barb today to find out if they still would allow anyone else in. Jane Powell, do you know if it's closed or would they still allow someone in? Does anybody know? Does anyone know in case next Tuesday a gal would like to join? Right, they had about 50, so. Well, I tell you what, if you're interested, ladies, show up next Tuesday night and say, Pastor Jeff said I can be here. And put pressure on Barb and let's just see if I have any sway around here, okay? I'm not sure, but anyway, great turnout. I heard it was a really good night. One gal talked to me about it since. And said they really enjoyed last night. So, ladies, then Sunday night was excellent. We had 96 guys in the chapel and got off to a great start. It was really positive. And any men here, if you want to join us, we'd love to have you. Actually, this coming Sunday night, for all the ladies and men, we are separating. We will not have our prayer service. We do this once a year, and we have a special guest coming in that some of you know, Ray and Judy Rachels. They are wonderful people, and Ray will be ministering to the men in the chapel, and ladies, you'll receive Judy, who is just wonderful, a delightful lady, and she'll be ministering to you right in this room on this coming Sunday night. Then the following Sunday night, guys, we'll pick up again, and we can squeeze just a few more in. Would love to have you join us. And there was just a really good spirit there. We had a great night together. So if you're interested in that, just let us know or just show up here in a couple of weeks, then a week from Sunday night. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn there if you will. We're beginning a series tonight, Acts chapter 17. We're calling this People of the Book. You see your little title there on your sheet that you're going to later be discussing a few questions on tonight. And really looking forward to it. Tonight is just a real simple introductory teaching on why Bible study is important. We'll get to that in just a moment. Really look forward to having Dr. Donald Johns, Dr. Vince Medina, Dr. Fred Holtum. They're going to help us tackle a few of these subjects, and really looking forward to their teachings. One week will be on how to interpret the Bible. There's really kind of three main things that we look at as we approach Bible study, and it's very important that we interpret the Word properly. Otherwise, our application's always going to be wrong. How many know that's true? Okay, so we begin. We want to make sure to interpret God's Word well. Thinking contextually, which is very important. We're going to spend a night on that. Inductive Bible study method. I can't wait for that night. I'm going to teach that night. And we're actually going to practice inductive Bible study at our tables. We'll be here for like 6 hours, and it will be a blast, all right? It'll be really fun. But I'm just kidding. We are going to take maybe just a few verses and work through a little bit. How many of you have ever done inductive Bible study method? Some of you have. Okay. How many of you, let me see the rest of your hands. And you're pulling for the Cubs. Isn't that great? Look at that. All those hands. That's awesome. I'm just kidding. I got you on that, Ron Day. Ron Day had his hand up. That is hilarious because you're the rudest Cardinal fan I know in the whole church toward me, Ron. So I'm just kidding. Anyway, inductive Bible study method. Another week, we're going to talk about all those versions. How many of you have ever wondered, how can there be that many versions of the Bible? And what's the distinction between all of them? That night will be a great night that one of our friends will be teaching. Another night, study Bibles, commentaries, other study aids, how to help yourself develop the skill in Bible study. That'll be one of the nights, and there are several other topics taking us all the way through November. We do have a couple breaks along the way, a very spiritual night that we will have a chili cook-off in this room, and so that's important. We will break for that, but along the way, we'll just have a couple of breaks. Again, three things I'd encourage you toward tonight. Number one is just to attend. Try to be here every week if you can. Number two, not only attend, but invite somebody. If you know someone who, as we make a little distinction tonight between reading the Word and really studying the Bible, if you know somebody that could grow from this, and you hear those topics, and you just think of them, and they never come on a Wednesday night, or seldom do, go ahead and be inviting friends to come out. And then the biggest thing is enjoy everybody around your table. I met Vincent tonight. Wave your hand, Vincent, real quick. Vincent is a freshman at Evangel, computer science, and I'm so glad that he's here tonight, aren't you? But he's at our table, so we get to enjoy him, all right? Don't clap, because we get to. He's our guy, but anyway. Acts chapter 17. Just to set our context, if you look to the screen, We break down Paul's journeys in the book of Acts typically as his three missionary journeys. And tonight as we look at Thessalonica, and this maybe isn't totally clear for you, but if you can see my little laser, right there is Thessalonica. So way down here is Jerusalem. So you can see Paul's route all the way, and we follow the second journey as this one in purple all the way around the Thessalonica, up in the area of Macedonia, okay? So quite a distance from, obviously, from the homeland. Actually, Antioch is right here, and that became the hub of Christianity, as we see in Acts chapter 13, began in Jerusalem, Acts chapter 2, and then there. But just to kind of set in your mind where Thessalonica is, because a lot of times you'll read that and you can't even, you have no idea where on earth that might be. There it is, okay? And Paul had gone there, and as we've often referenced, he did what was typical to his approach in ministry. He would first go where when he entered into a city to preach? The synagogue. Why did he go to the synagogue? He makes it clear in Romans chapter 1. He preaches to the Jew first and then to the Gentile. And that was Paul's pattern. And actually, as we read here just prior to our text tonight, he spent three Sabbath days in the synagogue there. And so he, for 3 weeks, he reasoned, the Bible says, with the Jews there, the Jewish people. He was wanting to bring the message to his people, and he prioritized them, and then he would go out from there. And so after 3 weeks, many believed, many were converted, came to faith in Christ, were baptized, but then the Jews began to arise, and they literally created a mob against Paul and his partner Silas on the trip there, and they went to the home of a young man by the name of Jason. And Jason was there with a few friends, and they were followers of Christ, but Paul and Silas were not there. And so the mob pulled them out of Jason's house and ran them to the city officials. And I love what they say. Many of you know this verse. It's such a powerful thought. But all the way there in Thessalonica, here's what they say to the city officials. They say, "These men who have turned the world upside down." What a testimony to Paul and Silas, huh? "These men who have turned the world upside down have come here also, and Jason," how many feel bad for Jason right about now? "Jason has received them, and they are all acting against the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king named Jesus. And this disturbed the city officials. They collect money from Jason. They let him go." And then we pick it up just two verses, verses number 10 and 11, if you have your Bibles open or look to the screen. "The brothers then immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. And when they arrived, they went into the Jewish synagogue." Now Berea, if you want to go back quickly to that map, if you can, Andrew, Berea, you see, is right there. You're looking about 40 miles almost due west, okay? So they moved them there by night, and we go back to the text here. They arrived there, and they went where? They went into the Jewish synagogue. "Now, these Jews were more noble than those in Thessalonica. They received the word with all eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see if these things were so." Now, what's important, obviously, not so much is location, but I want you to kind of get it in your mind and picture. It just, you know, just helps you with the whole plot and the theme as you follow through Acts. It's an exciting book, and you're watching the travels, especially of Paul. But the comment there that Luke, the writer here, who was a physician, a doctor that wrote this summary of the early church Acts of the Apostles, it's known, he says they were more noble. That's the ESV, and the King James uses the same term. NIV 84 says they were of more noble character. The New Living Translation says they were more open-minded. I only mention that tonight to say this. For one thing, I think it's a really poor rendering and translation of this word, but it helps us as we will get there one day in one of these Wednesday nights. We'll talk about the translations, and we'll be discussing that you realize, like the New Living Translation, it's a good translation, really trying to bring things down to a very understandable level, and yet in this sense, I really think they kind of miss it whenever you look at what this word means. The word, the Greek word there, means to be well-born or to be of a noble birth to begin with. And so that really draws more to the ESV and the King James, even the NIV 84. They are more noble or more noble character. But what we really notice tonight and what's most important is the outstanding quality that Luke says they noted in the Bereans. And many of you know this well, but it says there they examined the scriptures every single day. King James, they searched the scriptures daily. There's our key word tonight. They examined or they searched. The word there means, listen, to consider something in detail. Now, just for a moment, pause. Think of whatever it is in your life. We have all kinds of interests in this room tonight. Think about whatever it is that you love to examine in detail. All right, and probably all of us have something. Might be a hobby, maybe in our job, whatever it might be. I know some people are so into their yards. I mean, they just work these beautiful Missouri green lawns, right? And they examine it so very closely, whatever it is. It's to subject something to analysis in order to discover essential features or meaning. So this is what they did with Paul and Silas's, primarily Paul's, teaching. Now, these are who? These are Jewish people. And he's going to the synagogue, and these people are more noble than those just 40 miles to the east there in Thessalonica. Why? Because, Luke says, because they examined, they considered in detail the words of Paul. Now, this could go two ways when we think about it tonight. You could consider, first of all, that others were less noble, like the Thessalonians, according to Luke. They might have just swallowed hook, line, and sinker anything that came along, and so they didn't be careful to examine. That could be one end of this. The other side of it could be, or they were less noble instead, that because they could care less, really, of what they were hearing, and they didn't take time to go back to the Pentateuch. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. They didn't take time to go to the Psalms and study carefully, because in the Psalms we see what? We see embedded what Paul would have preached. When we look at the Pentateuch, we see embedded. We see and we know that Paul reasoned with them according to the Scriptures. What was that? It was the Old Testament. And so the Jews there in Berea, they went back to that Old Testament and they examined in detail what Paul was preaching to them. And they're noted then to be men of and women of high character, high regard because of this. Some followers of Christ, some, not all, are like the Bereans, that they, in detail, they go after the things of God and the Word of God. My question to you tonight is, how about you? As we begin on how to study the Bible tonight, what about you? And that's not to be an indictment or a condemnation of anyone here if you say, I'm just new to this thing, and I know there's some here that are very, very new to your walk with Christ, or you're just even exploring a walk with Christ, or maybe you're here and you have known the Lord for 20 or 30 years, but you realize tonight, I really don't study the Word. I don't examine in detail, and there are many other things you put your interest in rather than that. How about you tonight? I'd really appreciate what Marilyn Wolfe told me just recently. Many of you know Tony and Marilyn, of course. Her mother, Millie, just passed away a week ago, 92 years of age, and appreciated what she had shared, that one of her mom's greatest concerns at the age of 92 when she entered into the hospital was, Marilyn, I don't want to fall behind in my 2015 reading. I love that. And she was, and Marilyn told me this twice. She said, Mom was just consumed with a concern. She was going to fall behind in her reading. How many of you know that doesn't matter now? She is in the presence of God right now in a wonderful way. And we can laugh, but we can laugh with joy about that. The Word that became flesh, she is in the presence of that Word now. She's in the presence of Jesus. Amen? But the backdrop to that is that her and her husband Virgil, who passed away about 4 years ago, they religiously, especially upon their retirement from Evangel University, both of them gave years there, incredible investment at Evangel. Every single year, they would read through the Bible together, and they would take two different versions of the Bible, and then they would read through the Bible together daily, and they both would read to each other from the two different versions of the Bible. So they did that for years, for probably a couple of decades, and then Virgil passed away, and then there is Millie, and at age 92, she was determined to be right with us in our 2015 and 2050 reading. Now, I'm going to ask, don't raise your hand, but how many of you are that dedicated to 2015 and 2015? I said, don't raise your hand, but some of you didn't. That's okay. I'm glad you are. I hope all of you would be. That's just simply reading through the Bible. It takes literally about eight to 10 minutes the way that we have it, because we have it every single day, 7 days a week to do. Appreciated that. Now, that's awesome. And that's just kind of a start to our subject tonight. But what is the difference tonight between just reading the Bible and studying the Bible? What is the difference between reading the Bible and searching, examining the Scriptures? And please don't grow weary of what I'm about to reference, but it's an angle and something I don't think I've fully shared. And if any of you say, Jeff, finally I've heard the story enough, then email me and let me know, okay? And maybe I'll pull back. But it's a unique moment, and my parents are here tonight. Mom and Dad, great to see you. There they are right in the middle. Wave your hands if you would. I love my parents very much. So good to have you guys for about 3 or 4 weeks here. But it's a time that I remember watching my father walk away from me with another man who was Carla's father. And I've referenced them, I know, very, very often. But they were walking away. They had come out to Phoenix. Carla and I were engaged at that point. They were meeting each other for the first time to really get acquainted with her parents. And I remember standing there, like it was yesterday, I was standing there on the sidewalk watching them walk away. We had just finished a big Italian pasta meal, as Carla, the Balsamo family, would enjoy. And then they went out to take a walk, because how many know that kind of goes hand in hand with a big pasta meal. So they were walking away, and I was struck at the reality that the man on the right, my father, was raised in the church, born into a Christian family, baptized in the Holy Spirit early and young in his life, called to ministry, at that point was pastoring, and had served in district work, later would become a district superintendent, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And to the left of him, walking along, was Carla's dad, who had been a Christian at that point for 4.5 years. And I'll never forget thinking of how, because later his dad talked about it, for one thing, he loved Carmen, just really enjoyed getting to know him. But to think that, and he talked about it, they had such rich, as we call it, rich fellowship in the Lord. And to talk about the things of God. I remember my dad talking to me about that, saying he'd so enjoyed being with Carmen. Carmen has only been a Christian now about 4 years. And your dad, his entire life, and I don't know at that age, but I guess somewhere in his 50s, I would suppose. And yet, it was just like they picked right up and talked about the things of God, almost as if they were on an equal level, if you will, to share about the things of God. Now, why is that? Well, there's a couple of reasons for it, but a main reason that fits into tonight. One of the things that Carmen did early in his Christian walk is he read the book called The Navigator, which was the life story of Dawson Trotman. Many of you know Dawson Trotman. He was a man who began what's called Navigators. Navigators is today not quite, I don't think, in the sphere of what it was years ago, but there was known as a Navigator's Wheel of Discipleship, if you want to bring that up. And you can find it online. I haven't really seen it much through recent years, but it was very simple. It basically, and if you went online to read on it, it would say, if you want to know yourself, and to first of all understand yourself, how to relate to yourself, you have to have Christ in the center of your life. And then in relating to others, it's through fellowship within the body of Christ, the church, and witness and service, that we serve one another within the body, but also those outside of the church, and we witness. That is the horizontal relationships that we have. And then the vertical is the Word of God, and then prayer and worship. And this little diagram, literally with a stick pin, was stuck in the wall of the office that Carmen, at just prior to meeting my parents, as he began a ministry called Master's Commission, committed to the Lord, started that work that ended up being really worldwide, amazing the influence for about 20 years or so, and now it's kind of passed a little bit. But he lived that diagram, and he memorized it, and then from that book, Dawson Trotman, The Story of His Life, really, that is what he patterned his way to grow spiritually after. And again, as I've mentioned Carmen's story so many times, but at the age of 50, he became a follower of Jesus. At the age of 57, he went to be home with the Lord. And in 7 years, at his funeral service, they scattered these little 3x5 cards. I have the one that I picked up that day in 1987. I just happened to scoop up this one of my father-in-law that reads, "As for man, his days are like grass. As the flowers of the field flourish and then pass away, its place remembers it no more. But the loving kindness of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting." Isn't that ironic that the son-in-law, that's the one that I would pick up. They were scattered all over, hundreds of them, and they counted up and added it. Someone took those cards, figured he had memorized over 1,000 verses of Scripture. Now, Scripture memory is a wonderful thing. But the other thing that Carmen did in those about really 7 years of his life, once he fully engaged with the church, it would have been about 3 years of his life, he ended up on Tuesdays having his day off. And on Tuesdays, he and a man named Larry Karychuk, who was the college pastor there that they worked together then with the Master's Commission, they would spend every Tuesday, they would run, they would shower, and then they would go to one of each other's homes, and they would spend literally hours in true, outright Bible study. Larry had been a professional football player in the Canadian Football League, and Carmen was still relatively new in his faith, 4 years old in the Lord. And you talk about the discipline, and they would talk, and I remember them sharing. I'm 22 years of age at that point, and they would share with excitement what they had discovered that Tuesday together. And I mean, it was hours of iron sharpening iron as they studied the Word of God. There's a distinction between reading God's Word and many times just trying to make it through the goal of reading 10 minutes a day so you make it through the Bible versus really studying the Word of God. And we want to give you the tools that by the end of this series, and many of you already have these tools well in your tool belt, but even to refresh them and just to celebrate what it is to not just read, but to study the Word of God. I remember Carmen buying commentaries. He bought books on how to study the Bible. I remember he was so excited when he began his first Berean course. We called them in those days now Global University, and that's how he worked toward his first level of licensing, and he passed away soon after that. But Carla and her family watched the transformation of a man's life. What was the key? The key, of course, was Jesus. The key is that Carmen, at the age of 50, knew what it was to know his sins were forgiven. And he had been a Catholic man early in his life, and the issue to Carmen was this. He had worked so hard as a young man, and then he just basically gave up and said, I can never please God. And then he read in the Bible that says Jesus paid the price so that we can please God our Father. Amen? And because of what Jesus had done. And the difference then was not only Christ, of course Christ, but the living Word in Jesus, but then the written Word of God. And Carmen was dedicated to the study of Scriptures. Scripture memorization I will often reference because of him. Matter of fact, I had left CBC, and when I went there immediately, within about a month, I had already memorized, I think it was almost 35, 40 verses in that month. I'd never known before that. Within 6 months, I was well over 100 verses, and I jumped right in because there was just kind of that movement around many in the church in that time, and I loved it. And coming out to CBC, I loved it to memorize the NIV 84, and there's still so many of those verses in my heart and my mind. I love that. You know, the term to meditate or to memorize Scripture, meditate upon the Word of God, is the picture of chewing cud. Now, how many know we won't go into detail about that right now, but how many know what it is to chew cud? All right, so we see that where it's over and over and over again, and how many of you know that's what you can do with the Word of God? That's what you can do with a single verse of Scripture or a little passage of a few. That is a wonderful thing to do, memorizing the Word of God. But I can tell you this, and as much as I love our Bible quiz program, I love JBQ, I love TBQ, I quizzed as a teenager, I think it's important. But I tell you what, you can memorize the Scripture without allowing it to really get into your heart sometimes. And there could be a danger that it's all here and it's not necessarily here. And so memorization, very important. It's wonderful, but it can become rote. And you know what will keep it from just being rote is when you really study the Word of God. Studying the Word of God, not just reading and not just memorizing, but studying the Word of God is what helps us to really get the Word to work in our hearts. One of my favorite verses is written to the church at Thessalonica. And Paul says, we thank God continually because when you receive the Word of God, by the way, I memorized this in 1984. When you receive the Word of God, you didn't receive it as just the Word of men, but as it actually is, the Word of God. Isn't that a great verse of Scripture? When you receive God's Word, you didn't receive it just as the Word of men, but as it actually is, the Word of God. This is why the Bible is so important to us tonight. It's why learning how to study God's Word is so important and what we're going to do in this series. You could be reading through, and let's look at just a few points I'll give you here quickly. Number one, let's look at them, and then we'll move. I'm getting a little bit bogged down. How many know I can tell stories way too long? Oh, my. Let's move on quickly. Number one, let me give you a few reasons Bible study is important. Number one, Bible study helps you pull together your Bible reading into a deeper understanding of the whole Bible. Okay? That's what Bible study does. It helps you pull together so you get a deeper understanding of the whole of Scripture. Devotional reading is wonderful, For many of you, you're dedicated to that. You have your favorite devotional, or you rotate through them. There's nothing that's wonderful. Nothing wrong with that. Selected passages are wonderful. Little tidbits and verses are wonderful. Enjoying the dramas and the stories of Scripture is wonderful. But when you begin to study deeply and examine and search the Scriptures, it pulls together the whole of God's Word, that you begin to see the whole of history, the whole of God's story, etc. You could be reading Matthew's gospel, and all of a sudden we'll note that Matthew keeps mentioning Old Testament scriptures. And if you've got a handle on the Old Testament scriptures, or you've studied that, or take time to stop and go back to that text, that just helps you, that cross-referencing. It helps you understand with greater depth what Matthew is referring to. You could be reading, as we've done in this 2015 reading through, say, right now I'm in Isaiah. And as I'm reading through Isaiah, you realize the connection between it and, of course, the kings and the times of the kings. And go back to 2 Kings especially, because Isaiah the prophet went to King Hezekiah. And he said to him one day, who were these men that you allowed to come down here into your house? And he said, well, they were just a bunch of guys from Babylon. Remember that moment? And Isaiah said, well, what did you show them? And he said, I showed them my whole household and even all of my compartments of storage, etc. And Isaiah said these words to him, behold, the days are coming when all that is in your house and that which your father have stored up to this day shall be carried to Babylon. Nothing shall be left, says the Lord. And it was 120 years or so later that prophecy was fulfilled. But in those 120 years, you had then the next king, Manasseh, Amon, Josiah, Jehoiakim, Jehoiachin, and finally Zedekiah, when Jerusalem fell and his eyes were gouged out and he was taken up into Babylon. It was about 120 years later. Now, how many of you in that list of names, you know which was a really good king? Josiah. That's why many boys are named Josiah. All right, in scripture, in church nurseries. Why? Because he was a wonderful king in Israel's history. Well, when you read that, and then you couple it with Jeremiah's lamenting of the book of Lamentations, and Jeremiah in his weeping mode as a prophet, it brings together the prophets, it brings together the history of Israel. It connects those dots of what takes place in the Word of God only through the study of God's Word. Second thing, quickly, Bible study establishes you more deeply in your understanding of Bible doctrine. And this is so important for you. I found myself years ago in my NIV 84, and it sits right there by my chair at home. But I began to look at major Bible doctrines, especially certain ones I especially were focusing on. The rapture of the church, the second coming of Christ, the distinction between the two and how they interrelate. Salvation, the Trinity, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, any reference to being filled with the Holy Spirit. And I began to just put little symbols along in my margin as I would read, because I realized it's embedded everywhere. I would just see little allusions rather than where it's a major passage about that. I wanted to see how often the Trinity was referenced in the New Testament. And I see a T circled all throughout the New Testament today because I was doing a little study as I went through, etc. That is what Bible study will do for you. And then to crisscross and work your way through a study of the Trinity, a study of the nature of God, a study of the character of God, salvation, the incarnation, the rapture of the church, healing, etc. The more you study. Third thing, Bible study builds your faith in the veracity and the wonder of God's Word. I want to ask a question, and I really want you to answer it truthfully tonight. But how many of you here, in your study of the Bible, the more you study, the more you believed in it and realized its beauty and its wonder? Let me see your hand tonight. If that's you, truthfully. Hold them up just for me, if that's you. Now that's because you what? Because you studied. Because you studied the Word of God. It is so rare to find anyone that the opposite would happen, of course. And you know why? Because the Word of God is alive, and it's a spiritually alive book. It's the most incredible book you'll ever read in all of your life. And so that's why, obviously. But historically, archaeologically, theologically, the more the study, the more convinced you are of the veracity, the truth of God's Word. Just a few very practical things. Number four, Bible study helps you understand sermons, small group settings better. It really does. Have you ever sat somewhere and you were lost with what they were talking about? And you think, boy, I wish I knew that. I remember moments like that in my life, especially in my younger days. And so the joy of entering into a sermon is if you know the Word of God and then you hear that Word spoken, or a Bible study, a discussion study, much like tonight. Number five, Bible study deepens your walk with Christ. You say, well, how can it do that? Because it is the written word and Jesus is the living word. All of the Bible is about Jesus. From Genesis to Revelation, he is referenced, the Son of God, the eternal Son of God, and it is alive. 2 Timothy 3, it's breathed out of God's mouth. Ephesians 5, it cleanses us. Psalm 119, it is a lamp unto our feet, our pathway in life, it lights up for us. Hebrews 4, 13 and James 1, it examines our hearts, the Word of God. So the more you study the Word of God, it deepens your walk with Christ. And then three other things quickly. Bible study helps you help others to know Christ better. And that is important tonight. Have you ever been with somebody and you were at a total loss in what they asked you about the Lord, about life, about trials, whatever it was, and you say, I had no answer for them. You know, the more we study the Word of God, we are then able to have an answer for others. And that's important. It's not just about my life. It's about the life of others that we can impact. Amen? And so the more you study, the more you can help others. Number seven, Bible study helps us be doers and not just what? Hearers of the Word of God. The more you study the Word of God, I believe it propels you to not just hear, but to do His Word, which is what His Word says for us. And lastly, related to number one, but taking a little bit of a further step back, Bible study helps you see more clearly the whole story of God. We took a couple of years ago, what we called the thread, and we tried to run a thread, and we did the best that we could, and it could have been more extensive, obviously, but in the course of about 42 messages, we literally tried to tell what we call the story of God. That is not saying that it is just some mythological, or it's not real, it's not true, using the word story. The Bible is the story of God. It is God's story for man. And when we study the Word of God, we see the thread run all the way through from Genesis to Revelation. And the more we study, then it just comes off the page that you can see this amazing, incredible story of God, which is all about His love for each and every one of us here tonight, and that He gave His Son for. So my question as we close and turn to our discussion sheet tonight is this. Are you a reader of God's Word? Hopefully so. Second, are you a student of God's Word? And that's the question tonight. Are you a reader, or are you a reader and a student of the Word of God? Amen. Father, thank you for your Word this evening. And as we just launch now into this, and we'll take practical aspects of how to study your Word in weeks to come, Lord, I just pray you'd bless all of our discussions. May we all, Lord, glean from one another now. And to bless the time we have around these tables. Thank you for everyone that's here, Lord. And we thank you for the wonderful Word of God that we cling to tonight. May we be students of your Word tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.